Hey everybody, what's up? It's Josh. It is Tuesday morning, January 10th. I'm up super early this morning. I came home and made dinner last night, and we were watching Arrested Development and just passed out, and I had to get up and do early morning press this morning, which was a lot of fun. So if you're in Philly, Chicago, or Kansas City, you might have heard me on your morning radio show plugging my new TV show, Ginormous Food, on Food Network. We premiered on Friday. We had some pretty good numbers, and it's exciting stuff. So I'm not going to do a huge intro for this episode this morning. This is the first of what we promised to be six episodes of Bite Companion, our live streaming commentary to go along with the episodes of Ginormous Food. So this is for the Louisville episode, episode number one. We're in the Unpopular Opinion studio with Adam Todd Brown and joined by season one director David Konchnick, or as we know him, the Admiral of Television, not to be confused with the basketball admiral. I would say his name if I remembered it, but I forget. David something? I don't know. You know the Admiral. He played for the Spurs. He was a great guy. He actually came into a restaurant we were in San Antonio while we were filming the pilot back in April, and he wouldn't let us put him on the episode, so that's why I don't remember his name. That's all I have to say about that. This is a stupid morning. I've spent all morning reading hot takes about Meryl Streep and mixed martial arts, and my brain is fried. I'm done. I'm done with it. We don't need any of it. What we do need is food television and live podcasts that talk about episodes of food television. So here's one of those. Guys, enjoy the first episode of Bite Companion.
Step right up.
I can hear you.
Cool. All right. There we go. Now we're cooking.
Hopefully the people watching can hear us.
So, David, you're here with it's me and my buddy Adam Todd Brown, who's a comedian here in L.A., host of the Unpopular Opinion podcast.
Hey, David.
Nice. And, hey, Adam, what's going on?
Not much.
And for this the people watching fun. It. Yeah. Sorry, I cut you off. I didn't.
I literally just said this is fun.
Yeah.
And then
this, you can tell we have our shit together. This is our first. Yeah, it's like the first day on a shoot, David.
So this will go really poorly.
Yeah. No. We had a pretty good first day.
We had a great first day.
It was a lot of fun. I will say though, we're catching our bearings if we're going to keep it nautical. So, for the people watching on Facebook Live and are sitting here going, "Who's on the line?" This is our director for the entire season one, David Konchnick. So welcome, as I call him. Captain Bagels. do you want to share the story, David, on how you got the nickname Captain Bagels?
Well, I guess the bagel part came because we were shooting in Philadelphia at a bagel place, and I just kept eating all the bagels at every possible juncture. And then the captain part had to be from the sailing lessons, right?
Yeah, of course.
Very, very bad mistake of admitting that I once took sailing lessons. And, never lived that down.
No, that we stayed nautical for an entire 5 weeks of filming or whatever. And yeah, we continued to bust your chops the entire time about your lovely summers.
There's a comment. They said they can't hear him.
Oh, they can't hear the Skype?
Yeah. That's
well, that's a technical problem. But it's recording in there, right? So
yeah.
Hopefully that counts for something.
Do we just need to turn that gain?
Do you have the gain on the computer down? Is that what it is?
I might.
On the board? Adam's going to troubleshoot it. Well, thanks for the people that are tuning in, and thank you, David, for docking into port to join us. Do you have any comments on the Louisville episode so far? So you watch our premiere on Friday. Congratulations to you as well for our show making it on the air and premiering.
Oh, congratulations to you. You're looking great. It's really fun. It was great to watch it on Friday. It's great to watch it now.
Well, I don't know if you've watched the internet, but apparently I'm not looking great because I this is news to me. Apparently I am fat. People on the internet have said, man, why you got this fat guy on here with all this food? I was just like, I kind of felt like the shoe fit, but it's just amazing.
What I liked, I noticed that there were some people who waited until they had watched the entire episode on Friday night before chiming in on Twitter saying that they didn't think it was that great of a show.
Should be that auxiliary send volume. Yeah, the blue one, yeah. And it might be, you might have to do it up on the channel too. I'm sorry, David. What did you say? I'm trying to get this for the people.
I just think it's awesome the trolls who actually like watched the entire episode before saying they hated it.
Did you see that on Twitter, which was hilarious? there was a guy who literally I wish I didn't have like everything occupied, but there was a guy who was literally I'm watching these Italian wontons, these marinara egg rolls being made right now. Remember those?
Oh, those were so good.
That's all this show's going to be when we do Bite Companions, by the way. It's just going to be me going, remember how good Doge was? But there was a guy on my Twitter feed who literally, like, you could see his transition, like, half hour before the show started. He was like, I don't like it. It's wasteful. It's terrible. It's gluttonous. He's fat. He's going to eat all this stuff, and it's going to be wasteful. And then you could literally see him be like, act one, they share all the food. Good for them. And then it's like two for two. Oh, I guess it's a sharing show. And then the three for three is like, I guess I'll go fuck myself. Like, I was completely wrong about the show, and now you have a fan. So I love that. I love that we won a guy over who was originally opposed to the show based on all of his assumptions.
Well, it was great and him and other people too to see to realize that it is a sharing show. Like, that's great to have people kind of like pick up on that.
Can people hear David now?
Oh yeah, you just gotta ask that to see if it's
No one's complaining. No, maybe they just think we're insane by now.
Yeah, they
there's not actually another person.
We're just letting another dude talk. Well, if we can't get it figured out, they can always go download this.
Oh, yeah.
On iTunes, or they could go to blogtalkradio.com tonight and get the full episode there.
Yay, yay.
You can at least hear what Adam and I have to say. I mean, we just pretend we're talking to a ghost. Fill in David's parts for whatever you like the most.
Oh, okay. They said not really.
Oh, they so can't really. Oh, so it just needs to come up. Cool. We're on the right track.
We're getting there.
So, David, did you get any specific feedback, or was there anything as a director as you watched Louisville back that you were like, I wish we would have done this or we would have got this?
I don't know. I haven't gotten nothing. No one directly contacted me to tell me what they hated about the show.
Of course.
I got a lot of kind of distant relatives just saying how proud they are of the good work that we're doing, and so professional. I always love when people say that it was really professional.
Yeah.
But I think it's, for me, it's always, though, it's tough because we have to cut these shows down to fit in the half hour. And like, there's just so much good stuff for me that like doesn't quite make the cut just to try to get at the time.
Yeah.
Just little extra nuggets.
Yeah. So when people don't understand, like people go, somebody asked me this on Twitter over the weekend, they said, how much filming goes into an episode? And it's 3 days per episode, but these 7 to 8 minute segments per restaurant, we spend a full 12-hour day usually at the restaurant.
Yeah, and we use it. I mean, but and then we're also, I mean, the, like all those kind of shots, these beauty shots where we're just seeing how like incredibly delicious everything is. That's we've got, you know, we're taking the time to shoot that stuff. And that's also great extra like eating time too for the crew to sample it themselves.
Yeah, everybody's kind of jumping in on this stuff. This one was particularly fun because I remember we made this sandwich and we kept picking at everything. Almost to the point where our culinary producer Chanel was like, "Hey, like, you can't eat that much out of the cups because when we cut back for the tight shots, it's going to be a different looking ingredient bowl." That's more a note for me all the time. But I was kind of, well, and I suppose from a copyright perspective, we were limited in how many Godfather references we could make. But there was a whole scene that I had that I made you shoot. And by the way, in hindsight, there are so many scenes that I made you shoot for season one that just didn't make it into the episodes. I was like, I want to do bits. And we did all these bits and none of them made it in. But one of them was where I had a dude do like a dingy sit down with me. And I presented him.
I think part of the problem with that was that he wasn't it that he had never seen The Godfather before.
Yeah, so he didn't know how to play back with me, which was terrible.
Yeah, which could have been funny, but that's tough. I mean, if someone hasn't seen The Godfather,
we should have took him out back and shot him, just on the principle of not having seen The Godfather.
Ginormous foods, yeah. Friday night.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, listen, I think people would agree with me. The Godfather, it's an American tradition. You can't.
Yeah, you have to have seen it.
Yeah, it's not. He's like, I'm 22. I'm like, that's no excuse.
Yeah, so what?
No excuse.
Are your teachers that good where you didn't have a movie day?
Exactly.
I don't believe it.
And they didn't let you watch The Godfather?
Yeah. Also, I thought it was hilarious that our walking around shots that we shot with the Baltimore wardrobe ended up in the Louisville episode. Did you notice that, David?
Yeah. Yeah, it's you're walking around Cincinnati. This is some real inside baseball.
Pretending
walking around Cincinnati, pretending it's Baltimore.
And it ends up in the Louisville episode. Like, what the hell is that? Yeah, fun little side note. Those shots of me walking around in the blue shirt. If we were to keep the edit going and you were to see before we cut, there's like a whole army of crackheads across the street from where we were filming.
Oh, right.
Cincinnati.
The guys with like clown tattoos on their faces.
Yeah, that was a fun part. A lot of one thing we didn't really capture in the Louisville episode of Kentucky is the juggalo penetration that exists
really
in the Kentucky? State of Kentucky. Tons of juggalos. You'll see in the Cincinnati episode.
I don't know why I'm surprised by that.
You shouldn't be, Adam.
Yeah, that makes makes perfect sense.
Yeah, we do in the Cincinnati episode. There's actually a segment that's filmed in what was the name of the town, David? Do you remember?
Covington, Kentucky.
Covington,
right
Kentucky.
Right across the river. Yeah,
I did a show there with Portugal the Man.
Did you really?
Yeah,
yeah. Huge juggalo town. Well, at least
they did not come to the show.
No,
thankfully.
I don't yeah. think they would. I don't think they would be big Portugal the Man. But an amazing, cool, historic little town.
Yeah, it was a very cool place. I was impressed by how much I didn't hate Covington, Kentucky.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
And it is like right over the bridge.
Oh, there it is. There's the we just got to see the shot of you walking through Cincinnati saying that it was Louisville.
Oh yeah. Oh, you must be ahead of us because I'm watching live on the Food Network Watch Food Network app.
Available which you can, in the App Store.
Yeah, you can
on
download
iTunes and Android.
Adam's already all over it. yeah, you guys can check that out now. Log in with your provider to watch live TV or watch your stream your favorite shows.
The world is your oyster.
Yes, it's your.
It's a food reference, guys.
I like it.
Thank
I like
you,
it.
Thank you. I eat food. I eat food.
Yeah, I know. We had some delicious Del Taco on the way.
when's the Del Taco episode of Ginormous?
Yeah,
food?
I don't know when that's going to happen. That's David. You got any insight into the fast food season coming up?
No, I wish we got to get that on the list though.
Yeah, would challenge the fast food places. Yeah, the one thing I do like about doing this show is that we come back and it's people just going, as soon as the episode airs. Yeah, this is fake Cincinnati. This is fake Baltimore in the Louisville episode. Now I'm back, and I'm sure these guys. So we're at the Gary's on Spring. We're at the Gary's on Spring segment. David, can you share a little bit about how enthusiastic Chef Harold was for this segment?
Chef Harold was extremely enthusiastic.
I got
so much so that before I got to meet him a little bit before you did, Josh.
Oh yeah, and, like a diva, I have a later call time than the rest of the crew, of course.
And I was really kind of curious how you would sort of play off of his energy, because a lot of times it's people who aren't used to being on TV, and it's your job to kind of like get them like pumped excited. Up. And Chef Harold did not need to be pumped up.
No, he needed to be toned down. When I I would have thought it was his show when we showed up, because when you said action on the first take, he just took the scene over entirely.
Oh, but look at the guy does magic though. This is his food was so good.
Yeah.
He should have his own show.
Yeah, he should. And he had a very sort, who did we say reminded us of? Like John Malkovich was one. And then there was somebody. Right. Yeah, he's just a very sort of eccentric, charismatic dude.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he was like, you want to see me set it on fire? He just kept saying. And if you look in this part of the episode, and I don't know if you guys are watching along with us, but you might be ahead of us depending on where you're at in the country and who your provider is. But he insisted on, what was he firing? The Brussels? Yeah, these Brussels. He throws a little white wine in there and then goes completely Cirque du Soleil. And he was like, Josh, you want to come over here and get in flames? And I was like, no, I'm all set. I am all set on the flames. You see my face. That's a genuine reaction. Like, I am not getting anywhere near that grill with that fire.
Well, with good reason, because a little bit later on in this segment, when you're helping him put that hot brown in the oven, I think that's when you sustained one of your worst injuries of the season.
Yeah, it was my worst injury of the season. I completely seared my hand on the oven door. And that's not like a regular oven. I forget what those are called. But it's they have a name for it. Incinerator? I don't know. It's a
You'd think that we would know this now that we've made a show on the Food Network.
Yeah, it's the thing that they killed Freddy Krueger in. That's how hot it is. Because my hand touched it for like 2 seconds, and it was like, it's still on my hand. It's still very, it's faint, but you can still see it on my hand. And if you, little fun thing for people to roll back and watch, if you look at me making the Godfather in Act 1, you can actually see the burn on my hand from this one that's Act 2. Oh, these aren't in order?
Continuity errors.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Unavoidable.
Yeah.
But yeah, this hot brown was amazing, man. And we served this whole thing up, and we ended up feeding. This is the thing that's hilarious, is people are like, you're wasting all this food. This hot brown ended up being fed to like the entire upstairs of this restaurant.
Yeah.
And we were picking at this thing. At one point, we set it outside on a picnic bench, and the crew and everybody's just eating it. And it's like, it's cold. It had been out there for a while. There's like a third of it left, and we're all just killing it.
Yeah.
Because it was so good.
Oh, yeah. That was good cold. That thing was amazing.
It was really, really good. And, the normal size hot brown is fine, but I prefer this one. Have you ever had a hot brown?
I don't even know what a hot brown is.
Well, then this is why our show exists.
Yeah. Well, I get it now, man. Yeah.
It's toast. It's like a elevated shit on a shingle.
Oh
yeah. It's the Louisville version. Yeah. That's what my dad called them. They were open face turkey sandwiches that he made in the Navy, and they called them shit on a shingle.
Oh, my mom called open face hamburger gravy sandwiches shit on a shingle.
I think anybody with gravy and a shingle like toast.
Yeah.
They're co-opting that phrase.
Yeah.
I think we got to put a moratorium on things you can call shit on a shingle.
It's kind of a derogatory term for food
and
too.
Shingles.
Yeah.
I mean, the roofing industry can't like that expression.
Can't roof a house with toast. Dishonest.
Yeah. So this, and the flowers were great. I mean, the whole thing was great. The cool thing about the Louisville episode altogether was that these really were probably, and I don't want to say this because I could be incorrect, but at least their menus and their restaurants presented that these were the most elevated chefs that we had probably worked with in season one. Wouldn't you agree, David?
I think across the board, yeah. I mean, it just was just the nature of our show. We're always going to places that have a lot of like burgers and pizza and stuff like that. But it was just everybody in Louisville that we worked with. They were definitely bringing something extra to the table.
Yeah, I mean, this Gary's on Spring is a great restaurant. It's like a fine dining experience. We're in the upstairs bar, so it looks a little bit more casual. The lighting in this is great. But if you were to, check out the downstairs, it's like a full, you take a date, you take your wife. It's like a full five-star restaurant.
Yeah, they weren't going to let us down there. No way.
No, yeah. You take your crew upstairs with the brick.
Yeah, they just pointed right up the stairs. That's.
I got to be honest with you, David. I'm surprised that we had so little gay cowboy in this episode, because that guy was fantastic, and he got like eight. He got 8 seconds of time, if that.
Is he getting his own show?
We didn't have a chance to really feature the bartender at Gary's. No, and that guy was a popular guy there.
Yeah, he was a big draw. Whoever edited this was very taken with the owner's wife, because she gets a lot of screen time in this one. But I'm glad that we let my man headline with Muscle and Burger Bar, because he was great. And the more I watch this episode with Chef Fernando, I'm like, that guy's just such a joy to talk to and to interact with, because he's such a character.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Although the one feedback I did get from my brother-in-law, he wanted to know if I had anything to do with your terrible, terrible joke about
barbells?
Whether you need barbells for muscles.
I can't believe you guys left that in. That was a pretty hack. he goes, first thing we're going to do is we're going to build the muscles. And I go, how do we do that? Barbells? And I did, and then I did the barbell exercises, and somebody was like, oh, yeah, that's a terrible joke. You call yourself a comedian. Listen, it's very tough when you curse as much as I do and your sense of humor is dark and edgy.
Just
and
keeping it family friendly.
Yeah, so like I gotta, it's good. I'm going to mess some jokes up trying to be safe. It's very hard for me to play it safe and down the middle, so there's going to be some corn in there. I apologize. If you dig through all the stuff that is season one, you're going to find some corn. I think I redeem myself in episode two, though, in Philadelphia with my medical banter.
Oh, that's a nice one. Yeah, a little preview for everybody. That's a bit to look forward to.
On Friday's episode in Philly. So, David, what are you working on? We'll get away from our show since I'm on commercial break. I can't really see anything. But what are you working on now? You're working on Lucid's other show, right?
Yeah, I'm working on a show about people making incredible cakes. So I'm really looking forward to figuring out how we can do a crossover episode somewhere down the line.
Ginormous cake hunters foods.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's really...
I would watch that.
I think we could have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, and Lucid makes a lot of other shows. Like, we have a whole other office in Tennessee that's different from our D.C. office that does Cake Hunters and Ginormous Food. And they do murder shows. So I think it would be fun to even have like a three-show mashup where we do cake, murdered cake comes to Ginormous Food Town.
Yeah.
And then somebody goes to buy a huge cake.
And you murder them.
No, I don't murder them. Somebody murders them.
Okay.
And then I have to eat my way to the...
You have to eat the person they murder.
No, I have to eat. No, we find the murderer and then I eat the murderer. Well, I can't eat him because that would be gluttonous and wasteful. I share him
with the town.
I share him with the townspeople.
I'm into that.
And we celebrate with the cake that we hunted for. Right? Pitch it, David. Get it to Zach.
How are we only talking about this now? Yeah, this is
Eat your heart out, Talking Dead. I thought we could... I struggled with names for this. I was like, we could call it Bite Companion. We could call it Talking Bread. Chris Hart, we could have Chris Hardwick come and then we'll reveal. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if you guys realize this, but we're going to have a in memoriam for all the foods that died during this episode.
Oh, Talking Bread would be good.
Talking Bread. Maybe that's what we'll do. And we'll just rip off all their logos and transitions and we'll just go film it in their studio. It's at CBS. Ian could probably get us into that building when they're not using it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He works at Late Late Show.
Ian Carmel.
Yeah, one of our favorite. Also fat.
Yeah, gigantic.
Huge.
Big guy.
Would you say ginormous? Adam?
I would say Ian Carmel is ginormous.
But he's not just ginormous on size. He's ginormous on flavor. I mean, funny, not flavor. Funny. I wouldn't know that.
I don't know. He probably tastes great, too.
I'd be willing to bet. I would put money on him having tons of flavor. This was your favorite scene, David. The walk and talk in front of Muscle and Burger. You like that?
Oh, yeah.
We kept in my casual one.
I know, yeah. The like, I'm not some burger expert. Google it yourself.
Yeah.
There were
some extra sassy versions that we didn't go with. There was what, and it was like freeze. Wasn't it cold out that day too, David? I don't remember.
I think it was definitely colder than we made it look. But that place was also hard to find. Remember, it was somehow weirdly like behind a Petco.
Yeah, it's like in the back of a shopping center or something. Weird.
Yeah, it's such a great restaurant, but if you don't know where it is, you have to really search for it.
If that was in L.A., they'd have a comedy show there.
Yeah.
And it would be the most popular comedy show in the city.
They could have a comedy show at this place. They had like a whole separate restaurant underneath the restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, we used to have both restaurants, and then we were just like, nah, we'll just have the one.
Wow.
It was really weird.
Seems like you'd want to find something to do with that space.
Yeah, you would think so, right? Well, that tells you how well the restaurant upstairs is doing. But this kitchen that we're filming at, by the way, what a luxury. This is like their commercial kitchen. So they have like seven. This is a restaurant group that has like 7 or 8 restaurants, I think, around town. Right, David? They have a taco place, Mexican restaurant. They have an Italian restaurant. And then they have 2 Muscle and Burger bars. So this kitchen that we're filming in is actually their commercial kitchen that they use to make stuff for everywhere.
Nice.
Yeah, that's where they were doing all their baking and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but they were making.
That was the best luxury, because that's the thing that gives us the biggest headache, is just figuring out where we're gonna put everybody in these kitchens that are definitely not made for filming.
Yeah, there were some, like when we get to Richmond, I mean, that thing was it's like having the whole crew in a closet. It was unbelievable. I don't even know how we got it done. When I look at how. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
In one of those ones in Richmond, we had to kind of take the whole kitchen apart and then put it back together again before they had to cook for lunch, I think, because it was just, there was no way we could fit in there. And even then, we could barely fit inside.
Yeah, and the tough thing is, like, these are working kitchens. Like, if you notice, in this kitchen, you don't see anybody else walking around because this is the commercial kitchen, and it's just us down here. But you'll see in other kitchens, like, particularly in this week's Philly episode, they're full on working while we're filming. Like,
they're
open for business. We don't close the restaurant down. Like, this place is a live restaurant that we're filming in. First time I ever ate mussels on national television.
How are they? I've never had mussels. How are they?
Well, I shouldn't say that. I've had deep fried mussels. You know, like we get like a deep fry. You get a calamari and it's got mussels and clams or whatever. I've had like a deep fried seafood medley. I've never had sautéed mussels like that. And I almost freaked out. Like, David and I had a one-on-one about the mussels.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, we had a little talk.
It was one of my only. It was one of my only diva things where he was. And by the way, anytime I have any question, David just immediately goes like, "Oh, is this the diva moment coming out right now?" Which gets me to do anything that they want me to do. But I was like, "Oh my god, am I eating mussels?" And David's like, "Yeah, man, the place is Muscle and Burger Bar. There's not really a way to edit around the mussels."
I thought it was protein shakes.
Yeah. But I was nervous. You can almost, I don't know, you can almost see it on my face. I don't know about David, but you can almost see on my face where I'm like, boy, I hope this is good.
Was it good?
Oh, it was great. It was amazing. They were cooked perfectly. And then that sofrito sauce was amazing.
Yeah.
So sofrito is like a Spanish, almost like a Spanish marinara. Mm. And he uses this Spanish chorizo in it. You guys can see it's so good. And people, like when people ask me what's the best thing we had on the, it's kind of unfair, right? Because, you know, they're different foods, they're different days, there's different preparations. But I will say this is the best beef burger I've ever had in terms of the flavor. Like, it's cooked perfectly. The pimento cheese on top is amazing. The fried green tomato is amazing. Like, this place has legit food. I mean, they all have legit food, but this place is like, this is as gourmet burger as it gets. This is what I wish Umami Burger was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I love how every time some bit of grease tries to escape, he like scoops it up and just dribbles it back on top.
Yeah. And I like, and the funny thing is, I saw one comment with the Muscle and Burger Bar where they go, nobody's ordering that. Nobody's ordering that. Literally, when we were in there filming, 4 other people ordered that burger to eat it. It's a regular menu item.
Yeah.
And like 4 other people in the restaurant just had those.
Yeah. It looks intimidating.
Love this when they air the commercial for the show during the show.
Commercial for this guy.
Any other takeaways from Louisville, David? Anything? Am I missing any of the fun stuff? The firemen? None of that made it in.
Oh, the firemen didn't make it in. I don't know the whole story, but the fire. You know, that was a tough kind of audio situation trying to get in there with those firemen. So we might not have been able to hear the best parts of it. But I don't know. For me, the toughest thing with Louisville was just that everyone was just pushing bourbon on us, like starting at about 9 a.m.
Yeah, that's true.
Every day. And we kept explaining to them that we're working and we're not here to drink with everybody. And it was, they enjoy their bourbon in Louisville. That is not just like a, you know, tourist myth.
Yeah, that's the truth. We went to the, is it the Evan Williams Brewery?
Yeah, I think so.
Evan Williams.
They have a brew or a factory.
Yeah, it's a, yeah, it was like their distillery.
Distillery. That's there the, it is. That's right the word. Word.
Distillery.
That's
so the Evan word. Williams Distillery and, man, like, yeah, it was so cool. We only used a little bit. We didn't use the intro for that at all, which I thought was weird because I thought that looked really cool with the vats and everything.
It looked awesome. It's just time. Those are the things that we always we have to like just trim out every second. Like we have to find a way to just cram in as much delicious food as we can in these things.
Yeah.
I just looked at your at the screen and I saw a dog wearing sunglasses. And I was like, what show is that? That's my favorite new show. And it was just a potato chip commercial.
Yeah, well, it's...
So now it's my favorite potato chip commercial.
Yeah, it's also your favorite show.
Yeah.
DVR it.
Dog eating potato chips and sunglasses? Sign me up.
It's like in Demolition Man where he's like, this is our favorite radio station here in the future and it's just all commercials. Yeah, that was a fun thing. But yeah, when we went to the Evan Williams Distillery, I keep saying brewery, distillery... I don't drink. And these guys are like, oh yeah, like it starts at like 275 proof and we got to like brew it down or whatever.
Jesus.
And the guy's like, yeah, it's at about a 150 right now. And he's just like sipping it out of like a science vial. And I say science vial because I forget what they're, a beaker?
A beaker.
Yeah. Science vial.
Science vial.
I'm very smart. But yeah, he's like sipping this thing out of a beaker and he's like writing calculations and I'm just like, you spit that out? He's like, nah. And I'm like, how shit-faced are you right now? Because he's doing this he has to do it like every 30 minutes to make sure that it's good.
That's insane.
And it's just the pure grain alcohol. It's not even bourbon at that point. It's just clear.
Damn.
And it's just what they're getting out of the mash. And it was just like, he's like, you want this? I was like, that smells like pure. I can't have that.
That's the kind of job you see it on paper. And you're like, oh, I wish I could do that for a living.
Those guys.
And it's probably the worst.
I think they make a ton of money. That guy has that guy's like a chemical engineer or something. Right, David?
Oh, yeah. They all had crazy degrees and stuff. It was like.
They're booze scientists. And I learned that. They put the same amount of bourbon in every barrel. The difference is the longer you age the bourbon, there's less yield per barrel. So the price per barrel is the same, but a higher priced bourbon bottle comes from a barrel with a smaller yield due to the aging process. So that's where top shelf comes from. I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, I had no idea.
So it's like, yeah, we age this barrel of booze down so long that there's a drop left, but that drop, $62 million if you want it.
And these are the things we learn when we just randomly show up at places and ask if we can shoot some B-roll there.
Yeah, and it's so much fun. And then they were like, they let me bung my own bunghole.
Sure.
Remember that? Sure. I got to keep the bung.
Those are words that mean things.
Yeah, I can't wait for somebody to isolate that over over a meme. Got to bung my own bunghole, season one. No, but that's what a bunghole. I had no idea because I only know it from Beavis and Butthead. But it's the cap or whatever in a barrel of bourbon, and it's the you smash it so that it seals it up.
Oh,
and then you know I saw so there's a if you go to the Evan Williams Distillery in Louisville, there's a barrel with my name on it, aging forever because I don't drink. And then someday that's my fallback. If the show doesn't work out, I'm selling that bourbon for $1 million in 32 years.
That's a good idea.
So yeah, these ladies were great that we're wrapping the episode up with. And overall, Louisville, really great. And one of the things that I thought this one was one of our best shot episodes. In terms of just, we got some really cool shots. We got some really warm colors. And sometimes that's just what you're dealing with the episode. There I am, bunging the bunghole. yeah. And then, and people are like, you need a theme song and a car. And I'm just, okay, I don't think I need either of those things for season one, but okay. But yeah, man, it was a fun episode, and it was our second to last. The other thing that I think is critical to talk about is like the food we had in Louisville outside of the show was amazing.
Oh yeah.
Do you have a favorite from that week?
Oh man. I don't know. Well, we had the tacos from the Muscle and Burger Bar guys. Like they also have that taco place, right? We had that for lunch one of the days. That was amazing.
Yep. Yeah, that was
good. And then, oh, that Hammerhead's place, that was like burgers. Was, oh, man.
Yeah, we had that. Rob and I had that. We shared an elk burger and a venison burger.
Oh, wow.
And they were the best two burgers. We both agreed they were the best burgers we've ever had in our life, which is kind of unfortunate because we did a burger place in the episode. But it's sort of like apples to oranges because they're not.
Well, it's a different kind of meat.
Right, yeah, exactly. So you're talking about venison and elk versus, you know, the regular beef. But,
but just overall, Louisville, just for the quality of the food and the people were so nice and just it was a great city. I can't wait to go back.
Yeah, that's one of the ones where I'm like, I would love to just go back and just hit all those places and hit other places, too.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't with us, but the first night, I don't remember. Did we bring you food back? Corinne and I went to this pizza place called Boomba's. Corinne is our... I get what is she? What's her title? Was she a field producer or associate producer?
She was a producer.
I mean, David just like she's a producer. Also, a fun thing about Louisville that I think we should do a shout out for is we might have a PA that never showed up for work that could be dead somewhere. So if anybody knows where that kid is.
What was his name? Mike or something.
I don't remember.
He just never showed.
Never showed up. The only city where we had a PA not show up. But I do want to give a shout out to the two ladies that helped us in lieu of that because we had to scramble last minute to get PAs put together. We had two awesome PAs on the show, and I was hoping while I was building this up I would remember their names, and I don't. So maybe David does. But I would have to go through call sheets. To remember, but they were awesome. We had a white one and a black one.
Maybe they killed the kid who didn't show
Yeah, him. Maybe. Maybe they did that, but
I like that initiative. Yeah.
Go ahead, David. You were agreeing.
Yeah, you're
that
putting me on the spot. Now I can't remember their names.
I know, so we're like, yeah, let's give them a shout out, but you know, we don't, they're just production
assistants.
Well, they were
the emergency fill-in people who helped us out and really saved us, and we were but we didn't get to know them long enough.
Shout out, ladies.
Yeah. Because they were each only with us for a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but they were good. They were very good. Mysterious lady PAs.
But maybe someday we'll find out what happened to the PA we were supposed to have.
Yeah. I don't even, he's now the head of creative at NBC. Oh, man. I was trying to roll through and see if I have these, Louisville call sheets. And to see if I have the updated ones that actually show who the people are. Okay, so we had Amber.
Amber.
Amber was the first one.
Amber.
So shout outs to Amber for coming in the clinch. And then, of course, we thought we were going to have Amber the next day, but she was too tired and she had to work morning news. I think she works for the morning news in Louisville. So she sent a replacement who was also awesome. Wasn't her name was it wasn't Princess, was it? But it was something like that, David?
Amber and Princess?
Yeah, I don't think it was Princess, but it was something like
Those are names that I think of when I think of
PAs.
PAs.
Or Destiny?
Yeah.
What about
Destiny? That sounds Destiny. Right. Maybe Destiny, something like that. But
yeah, again, that
should have had corn on this episode, she would have told us. She would have remembered, maybe, or maybe
she would
not.
Have known.
They're all just Richie to me, and not Richie. that's my running gag on set, is that I pretend that the first people are the best people, and then I just call everybody not that. So, like, our first sound guy, who we'll probably have on an episode coming up, is Jacob, And then he wasn't able to join us for the second run of episodes, so we had a sound guy called Spencer, and I just called him Not Jacob the entire week.
That's awesome.
Then I started calling him Tinkerbell because we would get set, and we would be ready to shoot, and then he would be like, hold on 1 second. He would run over, and he'd like adjust everybody's mic packs and like put different foams on people, retape us, and then everybody would get settled. We'd be ready to go, and again, he'd be like, one more thing, hold on. And then he would come back and redo it again. And then I just kept calling him goddamn Tinkerbell the entire back half of the shoot because he was such a... But I'll tell you, that audio sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds really good. Spencer and that's it's it. No joke trying to make all those loud kitchens sound good.
Yeah, that's tough. That is a tough part. But, yeah, there could be a dead kid in Louisville who's supposed to work on our show. And that's no... Yeah. I really don't think that's an excuse. You want to make it in this business, you show up dead or alive.
Yeah. You fight that murderer off.
We should have dedicated the episode to him just in case.
Well, maybe we should pitch that episode to Zach's other show, Murder Comes to Town. Maybe we could find his missing persons. It's all part of our conglomerate.
I love Murder Comes to Town.
Do you? That show?
I watch Investigation Discovery almost so exclusively.
That's another Lucid Media production.
I if I'm ever murdered, all I want is that it's grisly enough and goes unsolved long enough that I end up on a true crime show. Because you look so beautiful in your reenactments.
Yeah.
Like, everyone dies pretty in Murder Show Heaven.
Yeah.
It's I want that to be my memorial. Like, that's the actor they picked to play me? Nice.
Yeah. It's like Brad Pitt.
This murder was worth it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would be down with it. You want to go out in some kind of blaze of glory.
Josh is like, I'll murder you.
No, yeah. Hey, look, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to need a new credit. speaking of dying on television, the thing that I thought was funny, the comment that kept coming up was people going, I can't wait for him to have a heart attack on the next episode. And it's like, do you really think we would film and publish that and put the show out?
Oh, that would be amazing.
And then I immediately felt your sentiment. And I was like, David, if I have to put it in my will, if I have a heart attack on set, you have to keep rolling. And so I think we owe it to the fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know, but yeah, people keep saying that on Twitter and stuff. Like, oh, this guy's not going to make it to 40.
Thank God. You know a lot of ass-kicking 40-year-olds?
Yeah, I'm at 40 now. It's not that great.
You're done. It's all behind you.
Yeah.
All
everything starts to fall apart. Yeah, yeah. It's really not a good place to be.
Yeah. I don't need to be. I'm 33. That's seven more. It's a good run.
Yeah.
Listen, if we get seven seasons out of the next 7 years, I'll die at 40. I'll make that trade with you, devil.
Oh, Josh just made that trade.
But hey, listen, if it happens, then this podcast is proof that there's a God and a devil.
That's true.
You're welcome, Earth.
Yeah,
if I have to sacrifice myself to close that door, I'll be the new Jesus. It's fine. David is gone. He's like, I got to get out. We got religious.
On the series finale of Ginormous Food.
Yeah.
The devil.
The Lazarus episode.
That would be so great.
Yeah, they put me in a cold storage. I come back 7 days later with robes on and just... beer battered turkey legs in each hand. Well, we won't keep it too late, David. You got an early call time. It's already almost midnight there, so.
Yeah, I better shove off.
But thanks for joining us, man. And I hope we got ratings today. I don't know. How do you feel about the numbers so far? What are your thoughts?
Nobody tells me anything, but I heard a rumor that they weren't bad. So
yeah,
that's always good.
We got I don't know if you got the text from Zach or Libby, but we got a congratulations on the numbers from I don't know if it's a text or an email from both Neil and Steven. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
good.
That's
well, if they're happy, then we should be happy.
Yeah, I feel good about it. And, you know, we got a lot of press coming up this week, and we have a big city market episode on Friday with Philadelphia, so it should be a good episode.
It should be great. I can't wait to keep watching all of these as they come out. It's been a ton of fun. And then, you know, I'm always looking forward to that Cincinnati one because I got to work a little extra on that one.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So I don't know if we'll have you back on before that. We'll definitely have you on for the Cincinnati Bike Companion. But yeah, that's your baby. That's the one you did. You did that from front to back. And I'm very.
Yeah, and I know we've got at least two shots in there of the scar on your hand. So that's just a nice little extra Easter egg.
Yeah, for people look for the Gary's on Spring burn on my hand. A little fun find in the Cincinnati episode. But you know, when we first started doing this show in this has been a year now. We first started doing when we did our pilot back in April of 2016. The travel executive at the time who was show running our show was named Neil Reagan. And or Regan, I don't know, but he told us, you know, when you do a new show, you're not really on it until episode 7 or 8. Like, you don't really know what your show is. And I feel really good about where the show is with the final episode of this season, Cincinnati. I feel like we finally got the right blend of comedy and food. We got some fun stuff. We got some silly stuff. We got really great restaurants to interact with. So, and I, you know, I think it was absolutely a great idea to have you cut that episode because we talk all season as we're filming. Hey, how do we want this show to evolve and what do we want to do and what do we want to get? So I feel like it was great that last episode was yours because you were able to really put your vision on it. And I think I think when people see where we come from the Philly episode, which was the first one we shot, all the way to the Cincinnati episode, I think they'll really see the evolution of the show. And that's a lot of credit to you.
Well, I don't know about that. I think I think they'll just watch all the episodes and just get really, really hungry.
Look, if that's the worst of it, that's great. I'll take that. So
absolutely. Well, hey, congratulations. The show's looking awesome and you're on your way to becoming a huge, huge star.
Well,
and
you know,
didn't even have to win a reality show on the Food Network.
Oh yeah, there's some contention about that too. I thought you had to win to be the next star. Now y'all just letting people in. And I don't know what ethnicity that random fan impersonation is. You decide.
Yeah, America. We don't have to speculate.
Yeah, that's what you pick. You there's an image in your head and that's on you. But yeah, there is a little bit of some people are a little upset that I just worked my way to a show and didn't have to do a bake off. I don't know what they do on that show.
Yeah, who knows?
So, all right, David, we'll have fun with the cakes in the morning.
All right, thanks so much.
Thanks
have
for
a great
joining
night.
Us, man. All right, we'll talk to you.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, we got the little bloop bloop.
Yeah,
that's in there. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's fun. I mean, you didn't get a chance to watch the episode yet. You just got to see the little
bit
of clips.
Yeah, no, not yet.
But I'm going to show it to you so you can see it.
Yeah.
Right now. Let's watch it again.
Get comfortable.
But yeah, I mean, overall, it was a fun thing, and you got to hear a little bit of I complained to you a little bit about people's reactions.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about it on another podcast.
Of yours, on the Unpopular Opinion Network.
Yes, the Unpopular Opinion Network. $4.99 a month.
And you get a million podcasts a week.
Yeah. 10 podcasts a week.
Yeah.
They're all different shows and they're all so good.
Great host comedians.
Yeah. Me and Josh are going to be doing a monthly show soon.
From LA at some point.
Yeah. It's called The Darkest Hour, just like the comedy
That's
show.
That's true.
I just made individual artwork for all the shows the other day. There's cats in all of them.
You know what's funny? You talk about individual artwork and I watched. Did you ever see the movie Gentlemen Broncos?
No, I did not.
Okay, so Netta doesn't know the brilliance that is Flight of the Conchords, or more specifically, Jemaine Clement.
Yeah,
and Netta's my girlfriend, for people who don't know who that is. I'll say her name on the podcast, and I forget to go, my girlfriend, because
yeah,
that doesn't even sound like a name unless you know Iranian people.
Yeah, exactly.
So we saw him we watched a movie called Don Verdeen, which is hilarious if you haven't seen it.
I have not.
Sam Rockwell... Danny McBride and Jemaine Clement are all in it. And it's about an archaeologist who basically finds religious artifacts that are supposed to reinforce the Bible.
Yeah.
And that's what makes his whole claim to fame. And then you kind of find out as the movie evolves, this isn't a spoiler alert, it's kind of a running theme, that he's been faking the finds. And then they get into a hot situation.
Yeah.
You know, they get in over their head. It's a typical, you know, type of movie that way. But Jemaine Clementson is a very funny dude. And she had never seen that. So we watched Gentlemen Broncos, which was like the second or third movie from the guy who did Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember that guy's name.
Yeah, not John Hader. Because John Hader was
John
Napoleon
Hader
Dynamite.
Was Napoleon Dynamite.
And then
yeah.
Jared Hess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jared
yeah, yeah.
Hess was the director of Napoleon Dynamite. So this was another... This was the... I think it was either this one or Nacho Libre was his second movie. And then the other movie was his third movie. So I think Gentlemen Broncos was actually his third. I think Nacho Libre was his second.
Yeah, that sounds about right, because I've definitely heard of Nacho Libre.
Yeah, that was great. I love that movie, too.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
But this one is about a kid who's like a science fiction writer, and then he submits a book to this science fiction writer fair, and then the guy who he is supposed to be judging the competition steals his story and publishes it as his own, and that's played by Jemaine Clement.
Oh, okay.
But he spends all of his time talking about his books, and he's like talking about his original cover arts. And they're just these terrible, shitty paintings that are just the weirdest things ever. And so when you said, this is the long runaround to why this is relevant. But when you said I worked on all the cover arts, I just pictured you painting weird shit, like just transgendered mustache dudes with like space rabbits behind them.
Yeah. No, it's just cats with heavy metal font.
See, it's that's just as good.
Yeah.
It's strikingly similar to. I'm never gonna let you read my science fiction novels because I know you'll steal them based on how you design cover art.
Absolutely.
Fair enough. we have. What are we at for time right now? 40 something minutes.
I don't know. Well, we started
at 8 o'clock. Yeah, so about 47 minutes. So we got a little bit more time to fill. What was I gonna say? But you said you guys talked about the comments on.
Yeah, on just because podcast. There have been so many comments about the show being, oh, it's such a wasteful show. And yeah, we said on the podcast also what you've been saying, which is the food you see, they cut up and they give it to everyone at the restaurant. And even if they didn't, food waste at restaurants is a thing.
Yeah, it's part of the business model.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you work at a fast food restaurant, they don't let you eat the shit they fuck up.
Which is really, that's kind of dumb to me. Even if even as an employee, you can't take food home and they don't let you do it because
yeah.
Then the reason they don't let you do it is because the operational thought is that you will overmake food on purpose to get it for free at the end of the night.
Which you will.
Which you will.
Because I have worked at a restaurant where either you
were. Was it when you worked at Burger King when you were young?
No, it was. Oh, okay. I worked at a restaurant called.
Because we both worked.
Milan's.
I worked at McDonald's and we didn't do that shit. I don't know if we did it on purpose because I wasn't manning the grill.
Yeah.
I just knew there was always burgers at the end of the night. But it was franchised and they let us take them home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The McDonald's I worked at, the manager would make us throw anything we messed up in a garbage can.
And you had to write it on a waste list.
And then
right?
You had to write it. Everything you threw in there, and then she would make someone compare.
You would inventory it.
Yeah, like make
trash
sure the
burgers.
List matches what's in the trash burger can.
Yeah,
it was very
one
intense.
Of the most demeaning things you'll ever like.
Yeah.
I felt like that was more demeaning because I did that once where they were like, "All right, you got to throw away the waste," and then we got to double. Then a supervisor had to double check the waste, and I was like, "You think I'm so fucking fat? I'll eat these out of the trash, won't you?" Like that's how I felt. Where they was like, they're gonna come back and be like, "He's eating them out of the trash. We're going to count them now. We're going to count them again in 30 minutes, just so you know."
Yeah. Yeah, it's shitty. Like, they don't pay you enough to afford food, but
even
you do get to throw away all the food in the world.
It is kind of crazy when you think about that. So, yeah, fast food places probably waste the most amount of food
in
America.
Yeah, they waste so much food.
And, that's unfortunate. But in our situation, we really don't waste food. The only time we ever wasted anything or we ever had to throw anything away, I won't even say wasted, was... We took a burger out to do like an exterior shot and it was in Richmond and there were so many bugs that we had to spray it with bug spray to actually get the shot of the burger outside.
Oh, shit.
And then you're not going to eat that one because it's covered in bug spray.
Yeah, you're going to want to avoid that burger.
Right.
It's so, on the menu now, though.
Yeah, the bug spray. It's the bug spray battle axe burger. No, but like, so that's the only, out of six episodes, that's the only time we had to take something and throw it in the trash. That's the only time. Because we couldn't get the shot with bugs. You don't, look at this great burger. There's fucking flies. Oh, that's a beauty shot if I've ever seen one. Just... Yeah, it's not a good. It doesn't work for television. But
no.
But we have a separate culinary producer, and I really hope we can get her on for a future bite companion named Chanel. Her job is specifically to go in and make sure that the food looks good, that the builds are structurally sound. So like some of these things these guys have made, they're like they've only been making them for a month. Some of them they've been making them for years. So like. You know, you get one of these big food items where somebody's only made it a couple times or it's like, you know, they struggle a little bit with the build, so we got to go through and make sure that it's built correctly.
Yeah.
And then she also makes sure that if something sort of falls apart when we make it, she'll go in and restage it so that it can be served to people.
Oh, nice.
So, like, if a like that Tower Burger in the Louisville episode we just watched, if that falls down, she'll take it and pull it apart and make, like, 10 separate burgers or cut it up into smaller pieces, and then we just hand it out to everybody in the restaurant, and they all eat. So
yeah.
So if we come to your town, come hang out with us, because you will eat for free and get a lot of food, and you might bake it on television.
You might.
Unless you're creepy or disgusting.
Maybe you'll get a show of your own.
Then you'll definitely get on television. Creepy or disgusting. If you're weird and creepy, we'll put you on for sure.
Oh, yeah, totally.
We love that shit. Oh, man. So this is it. This doesn't have to be a super long episode, I don't think.
Yeah.
We covered it. It's only a half-hour show.
Yeah.
Do we have any comments or questions from people? If you guys have questions, Q&As, I guess we can take those. I'll log into the Facebook Live and see what we got. I don't know. Has comments been rolling the whole time while we're doing this?
Yeah, there have been a few.
We'll see if we got 13. Not bad. So somebody said they were starving. Oh, this is people. There has to be a whole other show that's straight dirty and not appropriate for the Food Network. My friend Ryan. Yeah, there is. There's a whole show on the cutting room floor of if you know my comedy at all, you know that there's a whole other show that just will never probably never see the light of day. Yeah, people are saying really weird to watch you be so safe. Yes. Yeah, so that's it. If you guys have any Q&As, throw them out, because we're going to get out of here pretty quick. And what is this? New. Put on a mask to give yourself a fun look. Tab the magic wand to try one. Listen, Facebook, stop trying to be Snapchat.
Yeah,
stop
it. What are they doing?
What? I don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
People are saying what is it saying? The Twitter comments, people are saying you're fat.
Oh, nice. Me?
No, me.
Oh,
so people
well, because I am too. I just wanted to be clear.
It's so funny, though. I thought that was hilarious. We talked about this on the last March of the Pigs that you were also on, because we said people were like, oh, you just going to put a fat person on TV and make them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the people on TV were creating unreasonable expectations for your physical appearance. Now you put a regular dude on TV, and that's a problem. Hypocritical, America.
Very much so.
Yeah, but we have a live show if you're in the LA area.
Yeah. What month is this? January.
Yeah. So this Friday.
Friday the 13th.
How many Friday the 13th shows have we had?
Yeah.
Like six in a year, in about two years.
Yeah. Been a lot of Friday the 13th.
Tons of them.
And it's always something weird. There's always something weird that happens on those days.
Well, I'll tell you what doesn't happen. Sellouts. So if you guys are in the area, come check us out. But it's a really good show this month. It's Steve Gillespie. We had a couple of really funny ladies on it. Chelsea Skidmore and Arena Skaya. You know?
I do. Yeah.
Arena Skaya, very funny. And you and me, and then Charles. And I think that's it.
Yeah. This is the January show, so yeah.
Yeah, six of us. So it'll be a really fun lineup, and it's so cheap. It's $5.
$5.
And there's no drink minimums. Parking's like $1.
Yeah, you can park super cheap. There's lots of parking super, in that area that late, late at night.
Yeah, it's super late. It's 11:30 p.m. California time. And it's like the show runs 70 minutes.
Yeah.
So you can go to dinner, come to our show, and still hit a bar.
Yeah, yeah.
You at the end of the night.
I have gone out many a time after the shows. Yeah.
You can also hang out and drink there, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
You could go to another place.
But you can. You can stay and hang out with us.
Yeah.
If you like us that much.
Yeah. It's a fun show, man. And one of the best. And we'll be back at the Comedy Store at some point, I guess.
Yeah.
We got to follow up and find out what the deal is with that. I was hoping to have maybe on the Darkest Hour podcast, we'll have like Rich on and we can drill him about.
Yeah.
Yo, man, what, do your job.
Yeah. Make it happen.
Yeah, you heard it. If you're watching this, Rich Slate, do your fucking job, man.
I also need him to get me a tour of the basement of the Comedy Store for another podcast. Because it's haunted, you know.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it used to be a restaurant called Ciro's.
Yeah, the mob. Like, it was all mob ran, right?
Yeah, and now it's all mob ghost ran in the basement.
Word. So, like, what is it? That where the Jew one is?
Wait, what?
I sometimes need to just not talk while I'm thinking. there was a Jewish mobster who's the center of like all of those L.A. Confidential type movies. Mickey Cohen, is that?
Oh, yeah.
Is his ghost there?
Probably.
Or is it? It's probably a cantor.
And then there's also a comic who jumped from. There's a.
Oh yeah, the house, the party house.
Yeah, the party house behind next door. He jumped from the roof because there's an unofficial strike. Because
of cocaine?
Because of cocaine. Comics.
Oh, yeah.
And he thought his suicide was going to end the strike. And
yeah, was it?
People were like, no, we're still striking.
Yeah, but isn't that you're right, because I heard that was an old wives' tale, and then I watched a documentary on the comics.
No, that definitely happened.
Yeah, that guy killed himself. And isn't that how they got paid regulars? They had a fixed rate because the strike was that they weren't paying the comedians.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he killed himself, and they were like, how's $12 a show sound? Which, you know, you would love to say that he didn't die in vain, but here's your $12.
It's probably still $12.
It is $12. It might be $15, but it's not. Now, you think, like, people go, oh, that's not ridiculous. But if you're Bill Burr, no, it's $15 for Bill Burr, too. The difference is that's not why people like go, oh, why does that guy go up 17 times a night at the Comedy Store? It's like, it's the only way it's worth it.
Yeah.
So they get $15 a spot. You do the belly room, the OR, and the main room. You just made $45. And then if you do that twice, you know, early show, late show, then you made $90, which is not bad for driving the 1 mile from your house to the Comedy Store.
Yeah, that's true.
And working on your hour and getting $90. But yeah, those guys don't make $5,000 to just pop in. They can't. They couldn't afford that because there's 15 of them on every show.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, but it's more like that's like their open mic.
Right.
So imagine if you were a working comedian and you went to an open mic every night, made $90, you'd feel like you were a millionaire.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Bill Burr should kill himself. I mean.
Well, he might be able to get us up to $17.50.
Yeah, it's the only way this problem is going to work itself out.
I've done a podcast with Bill before. Bill, if you're watching.
He is.
Take one for the team. I think America will appreciate you, and I know we all would.
Of course.
Who would you, if you had to push somebody for the rate to go from $12 to $17, who would you push? Let's get real for a second, Adam Todd Brown.
Oh, like
I've got three answers right
like
now.
Like a famous comic?
Yeah. Who was the first person you would push off that cliff to get an extra $5 a set?
Oh, man. I don't know. You go first.
Oh, no.
All right. Jay Moore.
Oh, yeah, that's an easy one. Well, first of all, they don't let him go to the Comedy Stores.
So. Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know if they don't let him, but he definitely doesn't go there. So
yeah.
Yeah, I would probably lean into your back while you push Jay Moore. I'm not a fan of his either, simply for the same reason that you're not.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if we want to give that any time on the show, but that's...
He stole one of my jokes.
Stole
that's
a joke
fine.
From you. And it's not like we do a similar premise. Like, it's a
verbatim
word for word.
Word for word,
and it was probably sold to him by a comic who... made him watch your material.
Yeah.
And then was just like, yeah, this is a funny joke. You should do this. And he was just like, here's $12. God damn it, as comedians, we are terrible.
Yeah, who would you push?
Oh my God. Eliza Schlesinger, for sure.
Oh, I was gonna say that too, but I didn't want to go with a woman.
No, I'll go with it. It's anyone who knows me knows it's a woman for sure. For sure. You can all thank me later. I would push her. If I had to go to like the good son with Macaulay Culkin, I would go too. If I was falling, I would make sure I grabbed her foot like Aziz Ansari and This Is the End. Just, I'll take her with me.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
I would go over the cliff with her if that's the only way it was going to happen.
Yeah, I'd be into that.
And then she would just complain about it being the worst relationship she had ever. Oh, guys, can't commit. It's just with me on the way down to our death.
Yeah.
And I would, you know why? Because it's a twofer, because I'll take that stupid therapy dog of hers down with us.
Therapy dog. Yeah, I would push the first comic who did jokes about antidepressants. Like, being depressed isn't...
Welcome to a comedy club.
That's not interesting anymore.
No.
That's like pointing out the differences between white people and black people. Like, we got in the 90s.
Wait a minute. So don't do that? But my differences are different than everyone else's differences. Like, I think we're not from the same planets. But anyway, you go. No, their aliens are different than our aliens. Doesn't everybody understand this? White people that's still a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's still happening in black comedy clubs. And they're still wearing the big Zuba Steve Harvey suits.
Amongst comics whose stage name definitely has the word comic in it.
Or
comedian.
Or the.
Yeah.
If you have the in your as a prefix for your entertainer name.
Yeah.
There's
one comic who has her name, and then in parentheses, it's happily divorced.
Oh, yeah.
So like, oh, I wonder what your entire set is going to be about.
Also, I don't think you should be able to put part of your name in parentheses if you can't pronounce parentheses. I actually think I've met a comic named parentheses.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. That would not surprise me.
Well, this has been fun. Thanks for joining us for this one as well.
Yeah.
You're like the regular co-host now on March of the Pigs for this bite companion time.
Works for me.
And you know what's sad is we got Del Taco on the way in, and that's not going to be enough.
No.
I feel like I got enough food for us to wet the beak, and then it's like, that's I just watched that episode again. I get hungry too, man.
Yeah.
We're trying to get back on the keto thing this week, the diet, where, you know, like I was doing this when I did, it was before we did the Beyonce, Rihanna, was it List? Oh, it was when we did Listcast.
Oh, yeah,
the fast
yeah.
food Listcast with Chet Wilde on Popular Opinion Network. I was not eating at that time, like no carbs, no sugar. And I lost like 20 pounds. And then I've been sick for a week, and it's the holidays.
Yeah.
So I put like 10 back on. So now I need to I got to get back on it, man. But I'm still sick. And also, if you tasted carbs, they're amazing.
Carbs are the best.
I had a pizza.
They're so good.
We were watching the Globes last night, and I had a pizza. I was like, I just want a pizza. I wanted a sip of soda, but the only way to bring that to your house is if you get a side of pizza. So I was like, well, I gotta
get a pizza.
It's $7.50 to have a 2-liter delivered, or it's $9 to get it with a pizza delivered. So I guess I'll get a side of large pizza, stuffed crust. And my God, was it so good.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than like late night pizza.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's the best.
We should do a pizza list cast.
Yeah, wouldn't be.
Best pizzas.
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
It's tough, though, because everyone's going to pick that local place from their hometown, and there's no frame of comparison.
Yeah.
And there's only like 5 chain pizza places.
Yeah, and they're all mostly garbage.
Yeah, except for Little Caesars, which is only...
Shout out to Godfather's.
Godfather's Pizza in the Midwest?
Godfather's is fucking great.
That is so good. They have lunch buffets.
Their lunch buffet is one of the best buffets in the game.
And it's one of the best values that any restaurant still has.
Yeah.
You know it's a good value because these places like Cece's are based on the Godfather's lunch buffet.
Yeah.
Your whole business. They're like, what if we take the Godfather lunch buffet and we just make that our business?
Yeah. Godfather's is the shit.
Love it. All right, guys. Well, thanks for watching, tuning in live. And then, this will be up
soon.
If you're listening to this on iTunes, it's up in your ear now.
Now.
You've
right
heard
now.
It. You already heard it. Adam Todd Brown, thanks. Thanks to David Konchnick.
Yeah.
The Admiral. He's out to sea, baking cakes. He's already left our show. He's doing a cake show now. It's terrible.
What a piece of shit.
But hopefully we come back and we get to work on a season 2. That'd be great. And by the way, if you like Ginormous Food, or you like March of the Pigs, you like Misa, tell your friends to watch the show and tune in.
Yeah.
Especially if they have Nielsen boxes, which is a very weird thing. I don't know anybody that has a Nielsen box.
Tell them to watch the show, then ask why they have a Nielsen box.
Yeah, that's the exact order of those two. Why do you have this? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I actually do know a guy. I don't know if he still has it, but I do know a guy
who had one,
who got a Nielsen box just because he was like, I can get a Nielsen box. And I was like, oh, shit, will you start watching Better Off Ted?
Because you love that show?
Yeah, and he was like, absolutely not.
Oh, no. So he's to blame.
Yeah, he got Better Off Ted canceled.
It's ridiculous. We started rewatching Arrested Development, and I can't get over how damn good that show is.
It's a good show.
It's one of the best of all time. But yeah, if you have a Nielsen box, watch. If you don't have a Nielsen box, watch. This Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, 7 Central, 6 Mountain Time. You don't watch TV.
There's no real Mountain
Time.
That's the, haven't you seen The Man in the High Castle? That's all the neutral zone. That's all bombed out.
You told me to watch that. I got like 80 minutes into the first episode and I couldn't.
I fucking love it.
I couldn't hang.
I just like Nazis.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, they're a very interesting case study.
They're hot right now.
They are hot. They're very in.
They're having the best week ever.
It's a renaissance.
best year ever
for them. Yeah, their fearless leaders are ascending power.
Good times,
great times. All right, let's shut it down. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Hey, Big. Big, 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 big.